Welcome to another session for the Student Affairs Lecture Series. Today, we have with us Richard Call from Consumer Credit Counseling Services, and he will be talking about how to avoid identity theft, how to detect, deter, and defend against identity theft. Richard, welcome.
Thank you.
What is identity theft?
Identity theft is a situation that occurs when one's personal information is stolen or compromised. Examples would be your social security number and our credit card. It can occur where we literally have lost our social security card or credit card ourselves, or it could be we're part of a database where the database has been compromised and information in there on us has been obtained by the person that got into the database. Identity theft can cost everybody lots of time, could also cost potential money if the person stealing the identity goes out and uses those cards. It can also destroy your credit and ruin your good name.
All right, well, you kind of touched a little bit on this, but how does identity theft happen?
Well, there's a variety of ways that it can happen. Some of the ones that we need to be aware of, there actually are identity thieves that will go through trash in dumpsters, that will actually look for any type of information that has account numbers or critical important information on us. Obviously, people's wallets or purses can be stolen. An interesting one is identity theft can actually put in a change of address on your behalf at the post office, and therefore you don't get your mail, and he's diverting your mail to another address. That's a form of identity theft. We've all got the phishing emails where they're trying to throw us a hook to latch on to some promotional offer, and those are things we have to be very aware of. Also, a thing to be aware of is that it only takes one person working at a employer to have access to employee records that could fraudulently take advantage of that information.
Right, and some other information about this?
Yeah, these are some actual statistics on identity theft. Identity theft affects generally 10 million people a year fall victim. Now, the Federal Trade Commission actually tracks any reports of identity theft that have been turned into the FTC. And in 2005, we had just under 700,000 cases of fraud and identity theft. 37% were identity theft, the rest were fraud. A brief definition between the difference between identity theft and fraud. Fraud is a situation where we have been taken advantage of. For example, we hire a contractor to perform a service and the service never gets performed. In those cases, that's an act of fraud, but our identity actually wasn't stolen. In identity theft, our identity is actually stolen. This works out to about a little over 13 people a minute are victimized. The average victim is going to spend over 600 hours and approximately $1,400 in out-of-pocket expenses cleaning up their good name, working with their creditors and working with the credit bureau to try to correct situations. 85% of victims find out about the that their identity has been stolen through some type of adverse action. That could mean that they get a phone call sometime in the future asking about an account that they owe money on that they have no idea about that money because it was opened by the person that committed the fraud act. The average arrest rate is very low on identity theft. It's under 5%. It is what is called a white-collar crime, and it ranks, unfortunately, not very high up on the scale of types of offenses that the police and the FBI, et cetera, attempt to try to go after.
And you mentioned the difference between identity theft and fraud complaints. Here's a graph. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, these are the numbers for the latest year reported as 2005, and these were reported to the Federal Trade Commission. All parties, if you have been a victim of identity theft, are encouraged to report this to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, because they try to track this. As you can see on the 2005 stats, the red bar are those clients that actually turned in that they were an actual victim of identity theft. The blue bar are other types of fraud complaints. These could be, again, like I described, contractor complaints, some type of situation where we've paid money out and not gotten the service. You can see that overall fraud still outnumbers ID theft, but ID theft as a single component of fraud is the highest individual thing that is happening to individuals. About 37% of total complaints are ID theft.
Wow, that's very interesting. And here's another graph showing the United States, and can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is also as of 2005, and this is kind of a graphic depiction of where in certain states ID theft is more prone to happen than in other states. You can see we're in Ohio, and we're along with the rest of the Midwest, and this is about 60 to 90 individuals per each 1,000 unit of population. Now you can see some of the red, and it's interesting, and we can make our own assessments as to the states in red, but we see a lot of border states as far as have high incidence of identity theft. You'll also see Nevada, and Nevada very well could be because of Las Vegas and the types of situations, the legalized gambling that takes place there, and there could obviously be a lot of people that go to Vegas to try to steal people's identity. And then we also have New York State, which I think is because a lot of vacationers are going to New York State, and obviously they may have be compromised when they're vacationing.
And yet another graph that's really interesting is this complaints by victim age.
Yeah, this is interesting, and I think this graph is designed to show that the younger we are, starting with that first bar graph at 18 to 29, the younger we are, we're more culpable. And I think a lot of this, I think the way that I interpret this graph is the older we get, the more responsible we get as far as making sure and trying to secure our identity and not leave credit cards open for the taking and be more cautious of all of our actions. The biggest, I think, the largest category, 18 and 29, is that's a lot of generation of which technology has been in their life from day one. And so using credit cards and being part of online banking and all that is very normal. So it doesn't surprise me to see more people in that area. It also doesn't surprise me that probably in that age category the people aren't quite as responsible and take ownership of the do's and don'ts of knowing what they should be doing and securing their credit cards.
And it looks like when identity theft happens that a lot of people discover it in the first month.
Yeah, and that's good. And I think a lot of the reason for that a lot of times is I think we've, over the course of especially the last 2 years, we've all been encouraged to run our credit bureau reports very faithfully, to take a look at our credit reports to see if there's any credit trade lines on there that aren't ours. I think that's very positive. The interesting thing also is that even though roughly half the people find out and discover the act within the first month, you can see that there's another half that go anywhere from 1 to 6 months all the way up to over 60 months. A lot of times when someone steals one's identity, they're going to set up an account with a separate address from what the actual real address is for the victim. And so that way it's going to take several months for billing statements to even get back to the original person. But I'm encouraged that roughly half find out very quickly, because that will stop a lot of victims from all the time and the effort that they're going to have to put in if they're able to find it very quickly.
Seems as though Ohio is pretty much average when it comes to victim reports.
Right. If you remember the one graph earlier where we saw Ohio was one of the blue states, which was 60 to 90 victims per each 1,000, that ranks 28th out of the 50 states. So we certainly aren't high, which is an excellent thing. We certainly aren't low. We're right in the middle. These were 2006 statistics for the ID theft complaints that were filed to the FTC. And you can see Cleveland was number one, Columbus was number two. I think the ranking of those is simply by the population base. Cleveland and Columbus are our biggest two cities in Ohio, so I think that's simply a reflection of our the populace in each of those cities.
If we break those complaints down into a type, Can you talk about those?
Yeah, here's some of the complaints that have been turned in from Ohio victims. And the number one complaint was phone or utilities fraud. So people are setting up phone or utilities in their name that have nothing to do with themselves. So these are examples of things that may not show up right away. Credit card fraud is an obvious one. Somebody taking advantage of a credit card account number that they have found and going out and tried to purchase things on that. Bank fraud could be situations where somebody has tried to secure a loan in someone else's name. They could have done something in online banking. Government benefits fraud would be types of situations where possibly somebody has tried to take advantage of the Social Security system and tried to apply for benefits illegally. Employment-related fraud would be some type of situation where somebody has committed a fraud action through their employer.
So without a doubt, it appears that identity theft is a real issue. So what can we do to deter, detect, and defend against identity theft?
Well, the Federal Trade Commission has come out with this program called Deter, Detect, and Defend. And in deterring, we want to try to obviously deter identity thefts from our information in the first place. We want to detect that as early as possible, and then we want to find out how we can defend ourselves if, in fact, we do become a victim. Now, here under deter, one of the best things that we can do for ourselves and our if we're old enough to have kids that are at college is buy a shredder. A shredder and helping shred that financial documents instead of taking old billing statements and taking bank statements out and just put them into the trash bin. Shredding those into is just an excellent habit to get into. We need to, at all costs, protect our Social Security number. Don't ever carry your Social Security number with you in your wallet. Keep it at home under lock and key and only take it with you for situations that you know it's going to be asked for. Be very careful who you give your personal information out to and make sure you know who you're dealing with. A lot of times in the phishing types of scams that are going on, you're going to get an information that looks like it's coming from a place that you do business with. These are all very much fraudulent situations, and all companies say that they will not attempt to contact you by email. They will only try to contact you by phone. So if you get one of those, it's probably a bogus type of situation. Experts say to help deter, also don't use the same passwords at all of your websites that you have access to. Make sure and switch these passwords back and forth and change them. Never respond to any emails for personal information. That's a tip-off by itself. We may need to make sure and keep all of our information under lock and key to where we are the only ones or our other family members may have access to that. Detect. We want to detect suspicious activity by routinely monitoring situations. And what do we mean by that? Well, we need to be alert. Hopefully we know when certain mail or bill arrives to us on a certain part of the month. We need to be aware that if bills aren't getting there on time, that we need to call the vendor that's going to be sending us the bill to find out if it has been mailed, because keep in mind a lot of times these situations occur because somebody has gone in and put a change of address in, and we won't know that unless we call our billing statements. We need to inspect our credit report. We need to take advantage of the legislation that entitles us to one free credit report a year from each of the nationwide bureaus. As you can see, we've got listed here for you the annual website where you can pull that report, or you can actually call that phone number. They'll mail you your copy of your report, or you can actually fill out a request form and do it in writing. I will say at that point, don't pull all of your credit reports at one time. Pull one credit report every 4 months. If you do that, then at the end of 1 year, you can start all over again and go back to the original one and pull it again. And that gives you a sense that you can monitor your reports at least every 4 months to make sure there's not inappropriate activity. And finally, under detect, we want to look at our financial statements. A lot of times when our billing statement comes in and we see something on there for a small amount, we may not think a whole lot about it. We may not recognize who it came from and just pay the bill. Well, that's generally how people start using a credit card fraudulently. They want to start out small, and if you don't notice and you keep on paying the bill, they then suddenly start building up the amount of purchase that they try to make.
Probably one way to opt out of or deter and defend against identity theft is the opt out of credit card solicitations.
That's correct. There's two types of things here that we can do on credit card solicitations. If you want your name excluded from any offers and being given out to any solicitations, here's the phone number that you can card, and that will exclude your name from any offers that are coming in. And also, the do not call registry list is if we do not want solicitation phone calls at our home for products and services, you can call that phone number, and that your number will go on a list, and that opts you out from making your number available for any of these types of solicitations.
And lastly, defending your information.
Yeah, we want to defend against our identity theft as soon as we suspect a problem. There's a couple of ways that we can do this. Number one, we want to place a fraud alert on our credit reports. We want to call each one of the three, because we have to call them separately. To place a fraud alert, you can't call one and put it on all three. You have to call each one individually. And a fraud alert is simply a notification to the credit bureaus and any creditors that run your credit file that you have potentially been a victim. It's not an absolute, but it's a potentially been a victim of fraud, and you want to notify them that if somebody is running a credit bureau report on you, that they are aware of the fact and make sure and absolutely that it is a request coming from yourself. Another thing, I'll skip to the very last bullet point and talk of that because it's probably the next thing, and this just is happening right as we are talking. Ohio has just approved us putting credit freezes on our accounts with all three of the credit bureaus. A credit freeze is a little bit different than a fraud alert. A credit freeze actually will not allow your credit report to be given out to any creditors without your request. So that is a second step. If you've actually become a victim and you actually know that your identity has been compromised and want to freeze your account, you would actually put a credit freeze on your account. You also want to close accounts that have been tampered with or opened fraudulently. You want to indeed file a police report and make sure that you have a record of that activity. And last but not least, you want to contact the Federal Trade Commission because they are the watch guard for the whole identity theft nationwide. And they need to hear from you to be able to track any events that are occurring.
And where can you learn more about the identity theft?
One of the websites that we have here that I would recommend that you can get a lot of information on, and they have a nice 10-minute video as well that you can look at. It's ftc.gov/IDtheft. There's a 10-minute video that actually has some victims that have telling their stories and how what happened to them, and it's an excellent resource guide. And you will also find additional passouts and information that you can read about on the ftc.gov website.
Well, Richard, I think we've learned quite a bit about identity theft, and we thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.